5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into Tuesday's edition of The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Angel, it is Top Text Tuesday today. First Advantage text line, 888-530. Susan and Cheryl, very excited about this. 888-530-0043. Okay, here's the stats. Here's what we show. Beginner's Luck won it in the first, so we restarted this thing. Beginner's Luck won it on the first week of November. Smitty won it last week, and we're looking for maybe someone to take over and get two today. Now, the rule is, if you're new to the show, first one to win three Top Text Tuesdays within the competition gets a $50 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. And for just winning every week, you get a $15 gift certificate. So, Beginner's Luck, Smitty, we have your gift certificates ready to rock and roll. And we'll see who's going to take this thing today. We had some great texts yesterday. But I'm trying to figure this out because sometimes like some of our best texts don't happen on Top Text Tuesday. Is that because of stage fright, Angel? Is it too much pressure to perform on Top Text Tuesday? Is that what it is?
It's possible. Maybe the thoughts aren't flowing as well on Mondays or Tuesdays.
And they're still kind of in Monday. There's still case of the Mondays on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and there's still sports that happen on Mondays, so you got to get those takes in and context of everything else. So, yeah.
Are you saying the Hooligans, it takes them a few days to let something really register? Like, it just takes them a while?
I'm assuming that, yes.
Like, by Thursday, they're like, we only scored 10 points against the Titans? What the hell's wrong with this team?
What's a Bronco?
Yeah, what is going on? So I'm looking for greatness today. I was in a bad mood yesterday because I'm tired of football. I don't want to football anymore. I don't want to do it. I'm over it. I'm not, but I am. But I was negative yesterday. So First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Fun show today. Brendan Vogt will join me from DNVR Nuggets. Mike Brohard from CSURams.com will join me a little bit later on. Looking forward to that. 970, what about my border war jokes? Crickets. They were good. When were they, though, Angel?
Wasn't today,
Yeah, and they weren't Tuesday. You got to text them on Tuesday. Top Text Tuesday. It's like, I don't want to see Russell Wilson throw a 50-yard touchdown pass in practice on Thursday. I want to see him do it on Sunday. Doesn't count on Thursday. You got to do it on Sunday. So, texter here. Seriously, these were great. These were fantastic from the 970. But you got to bring them today. You can bring you those border war jokes still today because Wyoming got the last laugh over the weekend. So, yeah, that's fine. You could win Top Text Tuesday, but they've got to be on a Tuesday, Angel. Come on, gang. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the night that was, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The good for me, the Rams needed this one. Colorado State Rams men's basketball get a win last night. They have moved to 3-0 on the season. And, you know, so far, so good for this team. Now they get set for the Shriners Children's Charleston Classic. Say that three times fast. They beat Weber State 77-52. This was not one of those games where they got the lead early and then gave it up like they did against Gardner-Webb earlier. They put the pedal to the metal all the way through, and they get the dub. That's my good today. More on college basketball, on the college basketball scene coming up later in the show. The bad, officiating for Monday Night Football. We had a fumble, some bad fumbles, some bad plays, obviously, but what was it in the third quarter or whatever? When Philadelphia fumbled the ball, there was a clear face mask that they missed, but you can't go review it because that's the rules. We can go review the fumble, but oh, we saw this face mask. My rule is you either review it all or you don't review anything. And that would erase so much of the debate. So much of the ref hate would go away if they just couldn't review anything. Or if they could review everything. But who made the rule like we can review this but not that? We can review hold it, or we can review fumbles and catches and where they went down, but we can't review penalties. We can't review, I mean, you either review it all or you review nothing, Angel.
Well, I think it's tough because I think there's holding on every single play. You just might not see it. It might just be the guard that holds for a second.
Correct.
It could be a tackle. Could be a defensive lineman. I think it's hard to find the cutting off point if we're going to review a play. Oh, but there was a face mask here, so we got to add another 15 onto. Oh, but wait, the ball was spotted here, but the call on the field was this, and it's just it's already confusing for the refs. Don't make it any harder.
But if you can, but it's what I'm telling you is make it black and white. You're making it hard right now. Yo, you can review that, but not that, but not inside that, but that, not that. And you can call this, but not that. Again, if you're not adding the amount of challenges, it's not like we're going to see more challenges. You don't give the coaches more opportunities to challenge. You just make it, if they're going to challenge a fumble and you see that there's a face mask, you probably should call the face mask.
Or well, then you need a challenge for a face mask.
Or you don't review it at all. It's a fumble or it wasn't. And let's be done with it. It's just ridiculous every single week. The ugly is the way this thing ended. Taylor Heinicke goes down. He kneels the ball because he's trying to just end the game and not take a hit. And they call a penalty.
Be able to come in on the road and have a game like this tonight if they're able to close it out. They're going to throw on third down and 7. Instead, Heinicke wisely, and now a flag.
Wow.
And that's going to, in essence, end the game. A flag on that hit as Heinicke had taken a knee. And they slam Heinicke down, and that's when the flag came out. And it happened right in front of Nick Sirianni.
After the play was over, personal foul. Defense number 55. 15-yard penalty. First down.
Against Brandon Graham, the 13-year pro.
Swallow the flag. At that point, swallow the flag. No?
No, I disagree.
Why?
Because it's a clear penalty.
Did you see him trying to get up?
No.
Heinicke's kneeling down, and he lifts his knee up.
But it was obvious he was down.
The defender was...
It was obvious he was
taking a knee. Not when the defender started his tackle. He was already diving toward the guy. He tried to pull up. You can't end a freaking undefeated streak on that call. Ridiculous.
I don't even think it was that call that ended their streak, because they still had a shot, and then you fumbled it in their end zone, and they take it back and score.
No, that was the end of the game, They punted it after that with like 4 seconds left, and then they had a Hail Mary or whatever that lateral was. That ended the game right there. They still had, what, a minute 40 left? A minute 50? So, I mean, that was it. We're going to end our undefeated streak, an undefeated team, on that call. Heinicke goes down and kneels it. The guy's, Brandon Graham's already in motion. He's already on the ground, like going toward the quarterback. And Heinicke is kneeling, but he moves slightly. Like he stuttered, he kind of leans
into it.
His
kneel down wasn't the best executed, and he probably lost his balance falling on his knee.
But he like almost acted like he was going to get up.
I don't think he was trying to get up.
But if I'm a defender, how do I know that? You're talking about confusing the refs.
Well, then you just don't hit him as hard. If you see if a wide receiver catches downfield and drops to the ground, a player, you just go tap him on the back. Okay, you're down.
He's already he's already diving at the player. And then Heinicke goes down. These guys are huge.
See an image here. Heinicke's on the ground, and there's no one around him.
Yeah, but the guy is like lean. Have you seen the defensive lineman, Angel?
Yes.
When they start leaning forward to tackle, they ain't pulling the body back up.
I understand that.
They're going down on this. He went down. He was already going down. It's hard to pull yourself off. And actually, he did pull up. He did let up as he hit the guy. You can't end it on that. This is ridiculous. It's soft.
I think if you'd have tapped him on the shoulder, there would be no call. But because two guys jumped on him when he's on the ground, you have to throw the flag.
They didn't see him on the ground and then jump. They were already in the motion.
I don't believe that they didn't see him. How do you? Everyone else in the stadium saw him go down.
They were in the motion when they didn't see him kneel and then go, oh, let's get him. They were already in the act of going for the tackle.
Well, I mean, you can't throw a flag because there's no evidence that he was trying to stop or that he couldn't stop.
So now you want the referees to be CSI crime scene investigators and
like
analyze intent?
And we need to analyze.
That sounds like what you're asking.
No, I'm saying there was clear that he was down. You cannot hit him if he gives himself up.
He did it in a slight instant, and the guy's already making motion for the quarterback. He's already going
toward the guy.
He was
already on the ground
for
like a half second.
What is he supposed to do? What is the defensive player supposed to do?
Don't tackle him.
He's already going to the guy. How is he not
do
supposed to run
to
into him?
Do your best to move your body and roll to the side
He's
or something.
He's a 400-pound dude.
Okay, you can still move your body. You can move your body that fast on any other given play. You can't stop for 3 yards.
This soft. It's soft.
I don't think so.
It's ridiculously soft.
It's a rule, and you have to know that.
And he's going, again, Heinicke kneels and then picks his knee. If he slightly lifts his leg up, too. What if he would have got up and taken off? Get it. I remember John Lynch years ago. He did the same thing you're asking. He ran by. He thought the player was down. So he went by, and instead of hitting him, he tapped him. Just like you said, player got up and ran a touchdown. And John said, what should I have done? If I would have tackled him on the ground, you would have flagged me for a penalty. But because I waited and saw him and I tapped him, his knee was coming up slightly over the grass, he got up and ran back for a touchdown. I mean, what's a defensive player supposed to do in this case? It's absolutely ridiculous. We are confusing all of this. I mean, we review everything. We don't review things. Why couldn't they at least review that then?
Because it's not a reviewable penalty.
Then why not make it reviewable? That's what I'm saying.
Because it wasn't roughing the passer. It was a personal foul.
Can't end it on that. You can't end that on that debatable of a play. Now, do I think that it was, I knew it was going to be called. As soon as it happened, I knew it was going to be called. You can't even tackle quarterbacks now. He goes back, he goes to kneel. Smart on Heinicke's part. I'm not knocking him for doing it. That was a smart play. But what do you want the defensive lineman to do? He's already in motion. He's already going at the guy. I just can't believe it. Getting ready to see maybe one last opportunity for a comeback or whatever. And we get that instead. It blows me away, some of these calls. And Heinicke got the win, and he's the star. And the Commanders are 5-5.
If this was against a non-undefeated team, is this a big story?
If it's like Monday night, I'm watching it, yeah.
If the Eagles were 5-3 going into this game, does
it
matter?
I'm still arguing the call. But it is weird that that's how it ended. Like, that's how we're going to end this thing. You can swallow the flag there. If he wouldn't have called it, would you be irate?
I would be, oh, that's weird. That's a no call that they didn't. They missed that one. I would be the opposite, that they missed it. But because they called it, I can't argue that it was a bad call.
I think it was a bad call.
I mean,
I think it's a 50-50 call, and you don't go.
I don't think it's 50-50.
You don't go that way.
The ref is 5 yards behind the play, watching the entire thing.
The guy, then he would have seen that the defensive player is already in the motion going toward him. How's he supposed to pull up? I've got it up right here.
Heinicke. He's kneeled down right by the 39-yard line. Number 7 for the Eagles is like bent down on a knee, reaching out to touch him.
Yeah.
There's an offensive guard there, and the other Eagles player is still upright, running towards Heinicke.
It looks
like there's 3 yards of space there that he could have stopped or went the other way or got out of the way of Heinicke, who's on the ground.
I don't know.
I think the second hit is what brings the flag.
You think on 7?
No, I think 7 had it fine when he wrapped him up. It's the other guy coming in and hitting him across the face.
I see it worse from 7's standpoint. But I still wouldn't have called it. See, I'm looking at the guy coming on the backside. Was that Graham? He's a big dude, and his momentum's already going forward. And he's thinking, I got to touch him to make sure he's down. That's not like a quarterback slide. That's a quarterback kneel.
That already has him on the ground? Seven's hugging him while he's still on the ground, and there's still plenty of space for the defensive lineman to stop.
I'm not calling it. The defensive lineman needs to offer the quarterback a lemon square, LOL. This is soft. I agree, John. What do you guys think? You saw it? I tweeted about it.
If a receiver went down like that in the open field and a defensive cornerback landed on him like that, you wouldn't call it?
Like if he just kneeled down?
Yeah.
It depends on where I'm looking at if the momentum is taking him toward the player and the guy suddenly kneels and then he's like, and he falls all over him. It's hard to call that. But you're asking guys to stop their momentum.
Not stop, but use that momentum and move in a different direction.
How? But
turn your body and just roll on the ground.
Dude, you see defensive linemen when they get on the ground. How hard it is for them to get up? It takes them forever.
Well, that's going up, not coming down.
It's hard for them in the middle of their, like, their trains, man. I mean, they're like on a track.
I get that. But I'm saying there is a way you can avoid it.
I don't think so. I've never been a 350-pound defensive lineman.
Neither have I.
But that's what I'm saying. I see these guys they tackle a guy and then barely get up. They're running, and that's why they have so much space on the sidelines, because they can't stop the momentum. You have to give for some of that. You have to allow for some of that. 970, if you're tired of football, Celebrity Pickleball is coming out. Must see TV. Maybe that's what we need to watch, Angel, Celebrity Pickleball. Then we wouldn't have to argue about hits on quarterbacks. I'm just tired of it. You know, and I'm okay, whatever. This thing, I think it's 50-50. You don't think so, but I'll be willing to meet you in the middle.
Is it fair? No. Is it a good call? Yes.
I don't think it is.
It's a tough rule, and I'm sure they're going to look at it. Are you kidding me? But you can understand why they threw the flag.
Oh, I absolutely understand. I knew they were going to throw the flag. I knew they were going to throw it. I understand why.
So it's the ref's fault?
It's the NFL's fault. Whose fault would it be? Yes, the referee is supposed to protect the quarterbacks at all costs. Even Heineke's of the world, who nobody cares about because Carson Wentz is going to be back next week. That's what they said on the broadcast. It's somebody's fault. It ain't the defensive players. These guys are rolling momentum machines. And it's hard for them to just turn on a dime. You know, it's hard for them to do that. I'm not saying
turn on a dime, but...
That would have been a dime.
Lean your body to the right and just let it go.
But he's looking at the situation like there. Heineke's going back.
Okay, quarterback's down. He might be getting back up. Oh, there's my defensive back. He just touched him on the ground. He should be down. I'm going to go hit him anyway.
I think he's already going toward the quarterback. I know he's upright, but his momentum is taking him toward that guy's spot. You can't call it on that. I'm not a fan of that particular way to end a game. Texter from my guy Kyle, CSU alum. It sucks, but they can't not call it, you know?
Yeah.
I knew they were going to call it. That's the thing. I'm not arguing that I knew the call was going to be made. I was just really hopeful that we were going to swallow the flag on that play. But that's just part of it. I mean, of course that's going to get called. You can't even tackle a quarterback back there anymore. You can barely do that. I mean, these guys are constantly looking at flags, whether you're on the defense or offense. You make a play, you're looking around to see because you're terrified there's going to be a flag. I just think that we've overcomplicated everything in the NFL. And maybe that's not one of them I'm talking about, but I think we've overcomplicated everything else in this league. The way we call penalties, the way we don't call penalties, it's inconsistent. And this is why I've always said, either review everything or don't review anything. There should be no gray area. Because, Angel, if you really wanted to get it right, they would have went back and reviewed that, and then somebody would have said up top, yeah, he was going at him. It was a late hit or unnecessary roughness. It's over.
What's the opposite review of that? That Heineke wasn't giving himself up?
They're trying to do what you said, to determine whether the defensive lineman was already in the act of motion of going down to hit him. They would have to determine that. And if they determine, again, in a quarterback safe league, they're going to determine probably that he wasn't giving himself up or that he was giving himself up. But I'm just saying, you erase all debate. You erase all debate and all the knock on the officials if you review everything or nothing.
But, I mean, does that slow the game down if we're reviewing every play?
But I'm not saying, like, every play. Because how many challenges does a coach have in a game? He only has one per half, right? So you don't change that. So you're not reviewing everything in a game. But at the end of the game, when you're challenging a turnover or whatever, a penalty like that, in Belichick's case, if you have challenges, you should be able to challenge at any point in the game. Belichick's arguing that you should be able to challenge under 2 minutes, right?
Well, don't they have automatic reviews in two
for scoring plays
and turnovers,
but that wasn't a turnover. So that would have had to been a play where if you had a challenge left, you could challenge it. If not, tough cookies. But that's the thing. Like, you get two challenges per half, but you don't get it inside 2 minutes. That's like the most crucial time to have timeout or to have a challenge if it's a close game.
I mean, what if it's not a close game?
Still,
if it's a 30-10 blowout and coach is just challenging everything because
but he can't challenge everything, Angel. You only get one per half. You can't. That's the thing. Like, they're not going to challenge if they're down 30. You've already probably used it. But you don't change how many challenges they get. We just have to change how we do some things here. Like, you can challenge any time except for inside 2 minutes? Why? Seriously, answer why. Like, why? What's the reasoning behind that?
I couldn't give you an answer.
Because they can't either. Why can't you challenge in the most crucial time? I mean, I hate reviews. I hate instant replay. I hate it. But if you're going to do it, do it. Don't just pick and choose when the coach can challenge. You know he can't challenge over there, but he can challenge here. Can challenge that play, but you can't challenge this play. They challenged pass interference back in the day. That sucked. Because the problem was the refs couldn't get it right on the replay. They couldn't get back.
Maybe that's the issue. They don't trust replay to get it right.
Then why do it?
Why have penalties at all?
No, why have replay at all? If you can't trust that they're going to get it right on replay, why do we have it? No more challenges. No more instant replay. No more challenging whether or not he got a touchdown or not. Just get rid of it. Slows the game down. I'm with you 100%.
You know, game on the line, Super Bowl play.
Doesn't matter.
It's not a touchdown?
You say it now, and it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
I hate replay. This play doesn't really have anything to do with that, but I do hate it. I don't like it. 26 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKM.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Well, I was in a more positive mood until Angel and I had to duke it out. Like that, though. That's good. This is what sports is all about.
That's one of our first debates that we've actually had disagreeing thoughts on.
Yeah, probably. That's probably one of them. I mean, just put the quarterbacks in bubble wrap. Don't touch them. Don't touch the quarterbacks. Don't even look at the quarterback.
No more.
If you sack him, I don't want you looking at him. And if you sack him, you make sure you pick him up and gently put him. I know.
Put the quarterback 10 yards away from everyone else. Put him over by the ref and just have him call plays from there. Don't touch him.
Yeah, don't touch him. Poll question of the day. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's going to be the leader in scoring for the Nuggets by the end of the season? Go vote at thewholeshow.com.
Mine.
Are you coming off of Jamal and going over to MPJ?
Don't say it like it's a bad thing.
You said Jamal.
What, you don't like Jamal Murray anymore?
You hate Jamal? Isn't that the political debate?
Yes.
Well, you like Michael Porter Jr. so much. Why do you hate Jamal Murray?
Why don't you give him a contract? Oh, wait, you already did.
Is it because he's from Canada, Angel?
No. I have nothing against Canadians.
That's how they get you.
They're lovely people.
What, you don't like Kentucky? You don't like arrows?
Weapons.
Love arrows.
Violence.
you like violence. You like Cobra Kai.
That's different violence. That's scripted.
Everything can be solved with a good old-fashioned karate dust-up. Right?
Tournament.
Oh, we got to be careful with that.
It's tournament time.
MPJ is leading the vote by pretty substantial margin. 53% of the hooligans say MPJ. 30% say the Joker, and 15% say Angel's new most hated athlete in the league, Jamal Murray. No, I'm just saying.
I love Jamal Murray. He was the first Denver Nuggets jersey I bought.
And then he got hurt.
That was 2 years after. I bought it after the Portland Trailblazers.
Jamal, you said at the beginning of the season you thought it'd be Jamal, and I thought it'd be Joker. We both come off of that, which means I have a thing against Serbians. Right? No, I love
you. Horses.
You know I love the Joker. But this goes from yesterday's debate. He's not going to be the MVP. And Michael Porter Jr. might be the reason why.
Is Michael Jordan or Michael Jordan? Michael Porter Jr. an MVP?
No.
No? He said average 30 points.
If he can average that.
He's putting up points.
If he can average 30 points, yeah, he's going to be in the conversation. He won't average that, will he? Joker's averaging, what, 21?
Well, I mean, MPJ said he could shoot 50% from three-point range. I love his confidence.
Dude, I kind of believe it, though, sometimes, don't you?
Well, he said every one of two shots I got to make, so.
It's ridiculous.
I see it in games. If he misses one shot, I'm like, oh, he'll get the next one.
That's the complete opposite of the Rockies' mindset. Once out of 5 years, to expect us to go to the playoffs is ridiculous. Porter's like, dude, if I miss a shot, I'm making the next one. Porter needs to run the Rockies. So Joker is averaging 20.8 points per game. That last game really brought his average down. Porter's at 18. Jamal's at 16. You know, both of those guys are still recovering, kind of. I think we both agree. Look at that. We have a big disagreement. We have a bad fight. And now we're right back on the same page. We think it's going to be MPJ.
Sports talk.
Sports talk. Still friends. 35 minutes after the hour. Brendan Vogt coming up next from DNVR Nuggets. What does he think about this Nuggets team so far? And I tell you, Angel, I feel like they're ahead of the game. We'll talk about that next. 35 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, my man, this Nuggets team, 9-4. I got to be honest, I thought November was going to be a really difficult month for this team, but halfway through, so far so good.
Consider this, Brady. Maybe this is a difficult month for them. Maybe this is what it looks like as they... I know that sounds a little crazy, but I think those watching closely might feel like, well, they're just scratching the surface here. You know, they dealt with a couple of slower starts from Murray. You know, you get an off game from MPJ. You get some foul trouble from Jokic and all these different factors. No Bones Highland for a couple of games. And it's feeling like, okay, we're going to have to wait. Gonna have to wait to the winter to see them at full speed. And like you said, they're 9-4 all the same, tied for first in the Western Conference. Not surprising to me. I think this is what this team's made of, and I think they can get better from here.
See, that's what's insane to me, Brendan, is you're right. Maybe this is difficult for this team, but they're looking at four losses. And maybe, I do still feel like, man, I said at the beginning of the season, I think it's going to take November, maybe into December, before Jamal and MPJ start to really sink back into this roster. And right. That's a pretty scary good thought if you're a Nuggets fan.
Has to be. I think we've seen flashes from Murray. We've also seen him struggle. And yet somehow, I think that all falls under the encouraging category, given what you just described in terms of the start they're off to. And we expected it. We expected it to be a somewhat slow start for him. Porter hits the ground running, you know, because the shot doesn't go anywhere, right? Post-surgery, there's a lot to worry about. He's definitely lost some athleticism from his youth basketball days. But the shot's there. So you drop him in, and he's going to contribute. But to the point you were just making, in this last game, we saw the chemistry with Jokic. And that's the most important thing. Can it become two separate two-man games? Can it become a three-man game? You don't want Porter to just be a talented appendage to this team. You want him to be a part of the core. And I think we're seeing that integration. It's exciting, and he's playing really well.
Brendan, there was a play against Chicago that really makes me think that Michael Porter Jr., yeah, is becoming more intertwined with this team. And that was when Caruso's guarding him somewhat at the top of the key, kind of up on the elbow. And Porter looks like he might just take a shot, but instead he passes it up to Joker. And as soon as the ball leaves his hands, he makes a cut to the rim. Joker, of course, finds him, goes up, and one. That kind of play, I didn't see a lot of that kind of stuff in his first few years with this team.
Yeah, I think it's so tough because anytime you start to see those flashes of improvement, or so far, the rug's been pulled out from under him, right? So it feels like he keeps having to start over in a sense. But I think that game in Chicago, I thought he moved off ball as well as he shot, which was really encouraging. We know he's so good contested shots, so good in transition, just pulling up. But again, you know, can it be a part of the half-court identity? A big part of that will be him staying active, him moving. And I think that's why we saw him, you know, sometimes it gets hot in the first quarter, then you don't hear from him for three quarters. but he contributed the whole way through in Chicago, and I think it's because he hunted his shot within the offense, and that didn't just mean jacking it up. It meant moving his feet and finding open space.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've loved kind of, you're right, there's times where you go, man, MPJ's got it. He's figuring it all out. And then a couple of series later, you're thinking, oh, that was interesting. But that's the journey that we're on, I suppose, with Michael Porter Jr. Brendan, true or false, it's possible for Nikola Jokic to be even better this season, but not come anywhere near winning the MVP because of the point total situation.
True. I think we're really kind of heading towards that territory if we're not in it already. I mean, what a glorious juxtaposition.
Oh my gosh, right?
Between, look at Jokic and Embiid's performances the other night. So Embiid goes for, it's one of the best stat lines I've ever seen, right? Nearly 60 points, all those blocks. And it's incredible. I am not taking anything away from him. But then you look at Jokic, and it's, well, he had 12 assists in the first half to one turnover, and the game's essentially over halfway through the third quarter. And I'm not taking anything away from Embiid's performance, but just wanting to highlight, if it were up to Jokic, this is what his dominance looks like. This is how it manifests. If the offensive rating is near 130 in a half, and he's just, all he needs to do is pass, he's happy to do it. So I don't think we're going to see him approach MVP for myriad reasons. But like you said, I don't think that means his impact is any lower.
Well, that's what's crazy. When you look at the stat line, you go, and again, he didn't play in the fourth, but you go 4 for 4, and then, but then 6 rebounds, 14 assists, 3 steals, all in, you know, 2.5 quarters. I don't even know the amount of time, 20, 25 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yet I still watch him and I go, that's the best player in the league. He's just not doing it in the conventional way. And that's Joker's game. But we all know what the NBA looks at. They look at the point total first and foremost. And it is. It's going to be interesting to see how this one shakes out. But Joker, you've said it a million times, Brendan. He would rather it this way. I want 20 assists and 8 points and to grab some bench in the fourth and rest.
Totally. I think in the first 5 games, you could have made an argument he was a little too deferential. And here's the thing. We want both, you know, both sides of this. We love to go, look how dominant he is without shooting. And then we get frustrated when he doesn't shoot. But I do think there's a middle ground there, right? It's all well and good to be the facilitator in the first half. But if a third quarter calls for you going back into MVP scoring mode, put your head down and do it. In the first 5 games, I don't know if he was quite in that mindset. He's there now, and a result of his approach, his preference of setting everyone up, I think is the, you know, I think that's the reason why you're seeing Porter looking as good as he does, why Murray maybe looks a bit ahead of schedule. Jokic is more interested in building up the utility of the collective five than going for another MVP. I bet he would be thrilled to be nowhere near those conversations.
He wouldn't have to do interviews or anything like that, right? So he could stay away from that. Don't you think, and again, two different players, but LeBron James used to do this, especially in his heyday, where you knew he could score or at least come darn close to it every time if he wanted to. But instead, he got his teammates involved early so that they were in the flow, they were feeling it, they were loosened up by the time the fourth hit. Sometimes I look at Joker and I think, man, that's the same way. The guy can threaten to score anytime he wants to, but if he gets everybody involved, that's just going to make his life easier in the fourth period.
If he could set the tone of, hey, I don't have to do this for 4 quarters, he would love to. And it's not just about preserving the gas in his tank. I think he understands that at the team's best, it's going to look that way. As dominant as he is, you prefer not to have all 5 defenders keyed in on him on the court, and that's quite possible with all the talent around him and when he's so dedicated to getting them going. So it's a thin line to balance to walk here. I mean, sometimes I thought in the first couple weeks of the season they could have used a little more assertiveness from him, but he doesn't need my help. He's the back-to-back MVP for a reason, and he's got this team humming now at this point to the season.
Some overall NBA questions for you, Brendan. When you look, because I mean, right now you're looking at Milwaukee, Boston. They're on tears, of course.
Sure.
But in the Western Conference, what's going on? Like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, well, Portland is a really fun story. As much as I hate to admit it, it's probably not so fun for Denver Nuggets fans. But they're playing well. They're playing much better defense than anyone expected. they do have four buzzer beaters, though. So I do think this is a team for, as well as they're playing, there's a little bit of, you know, luck and variance in play here in terms of crunch time results. We'll see how that goes. The Clippers and the Warriors were supposed to be up top, you know, with the Nuggets, with the Suns, and looking as dominant as anyone. And this is the thing with the Clippers. They, in their time with Paul George and Kawhi, they've essentially punted on the regular season, whether it be for Kawhi's health, Paul George's health, you know, just wanting to keep them fresh. And I think that matters. You know, I think that's a large reason why Denver was able to beat them in the bubble back a few years ago. I think it's why I'm not as scared of them this year as we were, you know, preseason, just looking at the roster. You got to build the winning habits. You got to take the lumps like Denver took in Boston. I don't know if the Clippers are going through that process, and the Kawhi injury is definitely a huge question mark. You know, I think Phoenix will be there when it's all said and done, you know, with Denver, and Golden State will probably figure their stuff out. But it's a competitive conference, and I think, you know, already in October and November, we're standings watching. I think these results matter. You know, if Denver wants to be a top three seed, they're going to need every win they can get. So it's a weird start in the West.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm watching the standings every night going, all right, where are the Nuggets? Where are they? What are they looking like here? But like we said, it's halfway through this month, this crazy road trip of a month, and the Nuggets are looking pretty good. Brendan, my man, what are you working on that we can check out at DNVR Nuggets coming up?
Well, I'm heading to practice next. We're going to have another show, 2 p.m. on non-game night, game days, the DNBA show. We'll talk practice notes and more. And then we got a game coming up, of course. Just keep it locked with us. Keep it locked with us. Oh, we got a big announcement coming tomorrow with regards to that Serbia feature. So keep your ears open and eyes peeled. Check us out on Twitter at DNVR_Nuggets.
I still love what you guys did in Serbia. Some great reporting and just great storytelling from you. So we appreciate your time, my man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. The Nuggets are home tomorrow against the Knicks. Then they have that weird road swing with Dallas and Dallas. Then home against Detroit. I mean, they kind of got through the bulk of this crazy road trip already. I mean, we looked at November at the beginning of the season, Angel, and said, this is going to be brutal. I wouldn't be surprised if they're under 500. Well, they're 9-4. Got to be feeling really good about this team.
Yeah, and the way they're playing, the way we're just staying patient with this team because we know what they could be and what they can be at the end of the year. But these road games, they don't look fazed by them at all. Like, you go into, like, Madison Square Garden, you go into the Bulls Arena. These are tough places to play.
Yeah.
And maybe in Boston they felt a little rattled, but that was just a really good team. But they don't, they have the confidence to go into any arena and put up their best performance.
Nikola Jokic has got to be the most interesting best player ever. I mean, he's got to be, right? How many MVP-type guys do you look at and go, yeah, they're fine with just shooting the ball four times?
He had 8 points. Yeah, that's all right.
But, like, that you don't see that in any other sport. Like, any other sport, you look at whether it's Patrick Mahomes or in the NBA, when you look at Giannis and you look at hockey, I mean, these guys, they're going to get their shots. They got to get their stuff. Joker is just so unconventional that it's must. To me, it's must-see television. How's he going to try to win tonight? Oh, he's going to be an assist guy tonight. Oh, he's actually going to really focus on the defense. Oh, he's just going to facilitate at the top of the key. That's what's so fascinating to me about Nikola Jokic. 11:52 the time. Let's wrap it up here for hour number one. We got the lunch rush coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Breezing right through here on a Tuesday morning. Getting ready to transition into Tuesday afternoon. Top Text Tuesday rolling on, by the way. Get those texts in. Winner will get a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill in West Greeley just for being the best text of the day. But if you can win three of these things before we, you know, obviously we go three, and then whoever wins that one, then we restart the whole thing and go again. But get to three, and you could win a $50 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. So, dude, you got to get involved here. Love it. Love the text. Text us on a First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back.